Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thank you one and all for being with us tonight. At least it's tonight here. Through the magic of all this internet stuff, you could be listening to this anytime, anywhere in the world, and that's really exciting and fun. My guests tonight are John Stewart and Maggie Schetz, who are the intuitive consultants. They do controlled remote viewing, and I am fascinated with that process, and I'm looking forward to talking to them. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. One thing I wanted to talk about is that this coming Saturday is the full moon, a few days from now, and it is also a lunar eclipse, and that lunar eclipse is visible over most of North America. So it's an event that you don't get to see all the time, and it's really cool, and if you can, get up early and see that. But it also increases the energy behind a full moon, and as I've talked about before, we all may be affected by it more than a regular full moon. But the other thing that's going on this weekend is that it is the beginning of the Jewish festival of Passover, and it is also Easter. And those two often are within a few days of each other, even though the calendars are calculated differently. And they are two stories that are directly connected, although many people don't realize that. The story of Jesus and the resurrection starts with the Last Supper. And the Last Supper is a Passover Seder. He, as the head of household of a Jewish family, his group that he had pulled together and created his family, was responsible for carrying out this ceremony, this family dinner with an elaborate ritual that has been done exactly the same way for thousands and thousands of years. And it's basically the retelling of the story of Exodus, the story of the Jews in Egypt who had been enslaved at building, we think, the pyramids and whatever else they were doing. And the process of Moses, in conversation with the Pharaoh, with intervention from God, sending plagues and all kinds of other stuff, forcing Pharaoh to release the Jews, and they fled. And it's a whole long, dramatic story. But there are some factors in that which are the telling of a walkabout. They went through hardship. They came through a crisis. They thought that they were past the crisis, and then they had several more crises along the way. But there's one part of the story, you know, everybody knows about parting the Red Sea and that kind of stuff. But there's one part of the story that's kind of glossed over frequently, and that is walking through the desert for 40 years before they could go to the promised land. Why would that be true? Moses had a direct line to God and was getting guided. Why did it take them so long to get where they were going? And the answer to that is that in order to be free, in order to be a free people and go into this new life that they were going to, all of the people who were carrying the old beliefs of being slaves had to die. They could not do what they were supposed to do next if the slaves were still with them. It was the next generation that was going to go and start a whole new experience. And that's part of the internal process of walkabout and any internal healing process. There are the parts of us that are, in effect, enslaved to beliefs and things that we've always done and we think are the only way that it can be. And until those slaves lose their power, until they die off, you can't move forward. to whatever the version of the Promised Land is, if we're going to continue the metaphor. So the story of Exodus, in addition to being a 6,000-year-old tradition within Judaism of telling the story, and the story is told in the first person. Everybody at the table says, because of what God did for me when I came out of Egypt. It's very personal, it's very present, which is an absolutely fascinating process. But until you go through that internal process, the internal exodus, the letting go of the parts that are enslaved, you can't go to that next amazing thing that you would like to go to. And that's always the process. It's the process of letting go. So that's tonight's metaphysical musing. I hope if you're celebrating either of the festivals this weekend that you have a wonderful time with your family and just enjoy the whole process. And tonight's guests are really doing fascinating work. I'm really excited to talk to them. John Stewart and Maggie Schatz, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, David.
We really enjoyed your metaphysical musing. That was very interesting.
A lot of people don't know those connections. I'm always happy when I can tell how everything is connected that way.
It's interesting that 2,000 years later, it's still relevant.
Right. It's still going on. It's still relevant. And some of the unfolding of the relevance is in the same places.
Exactly.
You'd think we could get it done fast.
No.
So your business is intuitive consultants.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about what you do, but also about the process you use, which is called controlled remote viewing. And I think it's really, really cool because it came from a spy program.
Well, that's very true.
So tell us a little bit about the background of remote viewing, but also how in the world did you guys wind up doing this?
Well, as far as the history of controlled remote viewing, it dates back to about 1969 when the American Central Intelligence Agency came to the undeniable conclusion that the Soviet Union was stealing American military plans and secrets, but was leaving none of the usual telltale signs of espionage behind. There was just no trace of how the Russians were doing this. Fortuitous set of circumstances, in 1971, a Russian defector brought with him credible documentation detailing the Russians' espionage program, which showed that the Russians were using psychics as part of their program. This era was the height of the Cold War. So if the Russians had a, quote, psychic spy program, you better believe the U.S. had to have one.
Right, we had to have one. Yep.
So in 1972, the CIA contracted with the Stanford Research Institute to explore all the realms of psychic ability. The psychic mind, what makes a psychic mind tick? Can psychic abilities be taught to the average GI? During the next 23 years, what eventually came to be known as control remote viewing was used by the Defense Department, the CIA, the Army, the Air Force, and a number of government agencies were using and or relying upon controlled remote viewing. In a nutshell, controlled remote viewing, or CRV, is a scientifically designed, highly structured mental form of gathering information. And this information can stretch across time and space.
Which is one of the things that I find absolutely fascinating. But keep going. We'll talk more about that.
The program, many of your listeners will probably recognize the name of Stargate. It was one of the code names used for the program. It had really fallen under several different code names, but Stargate is probably the most obvious, the most recognizable one. The program officially ended in 1995 after the fall of the Soviet Union and the collapse of the Berlin Wall. Officially, it was declared that such experimental efforts weren't needed anymore because the U.S. didn't have those enemies anymore. But it's debatable as to whether control remote viewing is being used today by the U.S. government. I can say for a fact that Maggie and I have made significant use of the methodology and been able to help a number of people worldwide. And we're fascinated to share some of those stories with you here this evening.
Great. Great. So how did you wind up plugging into this? Every one of us that does this kind of work has a very convoluted story about how we wound up where we are doing what we're doing. And what happened?
Well, as far as myself, I've always been a science-minded individual. My entire life, I've been an amateur astronomer since about age 7. I have traveled the globe observing the night sky, dark night skies, from the southern Africa to South America. So over decades of exploring outer space, it was natural that sooner or later I would have an interest in exploring inner space. The human consciousness, to me, is the final frontier. Every one of us is a conscious being, and yet we understand so very little of what that really means. I think we've just begun to scratch the surface, particularly during the last 130 years of scientific research into all things psi or psychic phenomena. And I think we have a lot more to learn about ourselves. I began 10 years ago approximately meditating. And almost immediately after I started meditating, I began to have dreams. Dreams of people, places, events that seemed to have no relevance in my daily life. But when I opened up the next day's newspaper or watched a television broadcast of news, lo and behold, there was the person that I dreamt of. There was the event that I felt and seen. It was mind-blowing as to how is this possible. I mean, I grew up in an era where time was considered to be straight and narrow, never bending, inflexible. At least that's what the textbooks told me. But here I was perceiving the future time and time and time again. So I began to research, read everything I could about psychic abilities, all sorts of different topics. I eventually landed on a topic that really seemed to interest me, and that was remote viewing. I began to take courses and read books, and here I am today with Maggie as remote viewers, and it's been a fascinating ride ever since.
And it's for people that, well, perhaps you can explain what the process is. I was going to kind of give a quick example from my experience, but what's a remote viewing session like? What would you typically be attempting to look at or find?
Remote viewing is basically a interview and report methodology where my conscious mind interviews my subconscious mind, and those perceptions are written down on paper. The subconscious mind has access to an enormous amount of information, perhaps all information. Most people, however, are not familiar with their subconscious unless they're dreaming or under hypnosis. The CRV, control remote viewing process, doesn't rely on dreams or hypnosis, though I understand some of those methodologies were experimented in the military. it's simply a report and interview methodology. The more I can communicate with my subconscious mind, the more perceptions that flow to me. And everyone has access to their subconscious mind. Psychic information is available to them at all times. They just don't seem to, many people just aren't just aware. An actual report that I complete for my clients would be documentation ranging anywhere from 10 to 20 to 25 pages of psychic information, often with sketches. It all begins, the process all begins with a phone call to Maggie, who is our intuitive consultant's project manager. She will talk with the client, try to narrow down the client's precise requirement or request, arrange payment, and all those good things. What she'll do with me, however, is she'll direct me to a very simple directive to begin my session. For instance, if I'm looking for a lost child or a lost pet, I'm not given that information. The least information I have, the better, because I can begin to interview my subconscious mind without imagination kicking in. So Maggie might begin my directive by saying a simple phrase like, the target is a location. Describe the location. That's all the information I typically am given.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just go from there.
Which is more information than they gave in the original programs, where it was a random number written down by somebody who knew what the target was.
That can also be true. It seems that it's the intention that's really right. Important. Experiments have been done with simply starting a session with a micro dot. As mm-hmm. simple as that, nothing more. And it's amazing what can be perceived with intention.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So I know that the sketches that come out of remote viewing sessions frequently are almost frighteningly accurate. If the target is a building or a map or some other kind of thing, that it will be amazingly accurate.
It definitely can be. It can be amazingly accurate. it's been a fascinating process, and the more I learn about myself, the more spacious my awareness seems to get.
right. And one of the things that I was fascinated with in terms of what the military discovered about all of this is that it can be taught, that they can just take, it doesn't have to be an individual who has obvious psychic talents. They were taking line people in the military and just bringing them in and teaching them how to do it, which shows that everybody really can do this kind of stuff.
That is very true. Control remote viewing is a methodology that does not make one psychic, but it really helps to organize one's psychic perceptions
mm-hmm.
and become more aware of those psychic perceptions.
So you kind of found it in your own interest in expanding your mind and finding out what your dreams was about. What went on with Maggie? How did you get involved in this aspect of it? And I know you do some other things.
Well, I got started when John was first showing interest, and he was reading books and watching CDs and talking about this exciting thing. And I have always actually had some gifts from a young age. I had some psychic perceptions, but it wasn't really a socially acceptable thing in my community to right. be very psychic. So, but I guess in my advancing years, I was less concerned about how other people perceived me. So, You know, I've kind of learned along with John. I've only taken one formal training, the beginning level of training, but I've actually worked with John as he's gone through all these different levels. And my role primarily is to be the manager. So when I receive a call from a client, I have to really help them to narrow down what exactly is their question and how, what kind of answer are they going to be happy with? Because sometimes people want very complicated answers with many different facets, and I'm not going to be able to satisfy them in the period of time that they're looking at. So I need to help them to find out what is it exactly that they're actually looking for. And then I help John, I just, like he explained, I give him that, what we call front loading, usually give him front loading. And then after I receive his report, sometimes I'll ask him, oh, go back and look at, you know, what happened in this part here, or what happened in that part there. Mm-hmm. If I'm able, I'll actually sit with him and monitor him through the process. Although, if we're looking for something lost, I don't have any better idea where it is than he does. It's not like I know and I'm guiding him, but I have a better idea of what questions to ask and how to look for the right information. Because I really have to keep him out of the loop as much as possible. But I've really learned a lot growing alongside of him. Now, that's not really my primary work. I've been studying hypnotherapy for quite a while, and we do other services with our business. But I really enjoy working with CRV. I find it absolutely fascinating because I can look into, if I'm doing a psychic reading with somebody and I perceive, oh, they have this person in their life who has this type of personality and they had that effect and whatever. Well, how much of that is, you know, people can wonder how much of that is just intuition and, you know, women's intuition or whatever. But when you start drawing a picture of the exact property that someone was looking for, or in some cases, John drew for a particular, the rescue of Remy, which is one of our favorite stories, he drew a map of where this dog was going to be found in a part of the neighborhood where the family had never gone to before. It was in a rural area. And he had to draw a map that showed the location of the dog, which had gotten locked in a shed accidentally, in a neighbor's shed.
Wow.
But he drew a creek bed and a telephone pole and things that these people didn't even know existed. And it was just amazing that you can't do that by luck or by chance, or it's just not possible.
Right.
I love the concreteness of CRV. I love the way it continually gives proof of itself.
And it sounds like a lot of what you do is that kind of forensic investigation, looking for an object, looking for a person or a dog.
We've done some interesting things, but the majority is looking for lost people and objects and pets.
Uh-huh. Which is,
we do get asked to help people work on career paths or even relationships. But majority of stuff is lost objects and people and pets.
Right, which is important work. We're coming up on a break, and I want to make sure people know where to find you. What's your website, and what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Our website is intuitiveconsultants.net. Our phone number is 717-340-2121, or they could email us at intuitiveconsultants.net@gmail.com.
And we have a Facebook page.
Yes, you do,
Gus. I connected with you there as well. Okay, so when we get back, we're going to continue our conversation with John Stewart and Maggie Schetz, the intuitive consultants, and hear more about all the different kinds of work they do and some of their cases. We will be back shortly, unless, of course, we get taller. Here on Empower Radio, this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
this week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg. Ha-ha, I win. Whoa! Ah! Sassy! Johnny fell down the well!
I'm wet!
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound, health, and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See, that's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, is that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with John Stewart and Maggie Schitz, the intuitive consultants who use controlled remote viewing to do all kinds of fascinating things like find lost dogs. So tell us a little bit more about the kinds of cases that you work on.
Well, CRV, we've used CRV to forecast outcomes of legal cases. I've worked with sessions for, there was recently a microbiologist who was studying a strain of pollution-eating bacteria, and she wanted to find out what CRV could do for her. So I was able to, according to her, provide her with valuable information, not only on her current experiments, but how to proceed in the future with her experiments. And she was very impressed.
Considering John doesn't know anything about microbiology.
Right.
I consider myself an amateur astronomer. I know nothing about microbiology, yes.
Well, I would assume it was some kind of sketch that she looked at and it made perfect sense.
It was some detail. It was sketches. It was some documentation. It made perfect sense to her. And that's one thing I do want to point out, that in remote viewing, just because I have a perception, I just need to write it down and really forget about it. It's the client who puts the pieces together like a detective who accumulates new clues. The client really knows more about the target than anyone. All I'm doing is offering the bits and pieces, the perceptions.
Mm-hmm.
We've had clients, losing valuable items. Like there was a diamond ring that was lost. There was a boa constrictor out in Texas. There was a woman who lost her Rolex watch in Australia. There was a terrorist, a potential terrorist attack in Europe. It seems I pretty much run the gamut, and control remote viewing can indeed offer insight and valuable information to almost anything. If there's an answer, control remote viewing can provide at least some portion of that answer to it.
We do have to educate our clients a little bit, because the type of information they get isn't always going to give them, you know, follow point A to point B and, you know, X marks the spot. We're going to describe things, and they are going to have to do the identifying work, because it's not really the job of the remote viewer to do the identification. So, you know, as sketches can be quite accurate, the verbal descriptions of things, people have to kind of put those pieces together for themselves. And, you know, if we say, you know, big, red, and shiny, it's going to mean one thing to one person, another thing to another person. Right. But to the person who's receiving and who's asked for the information, instead of us trying to tell you it's an apple or a ball, we're going to let you take that information and plug it into what you know. And then, you know, if people don't fully put together the parts, or if they need more information about what we've given them, then we, you know, we'll obviously clarify things. But we try to put it out there in its unbiased form.
Right. So how were you able to help with the possible terrorist attack?
There was scuttlebutt occurring over the internet that an attack may occur over a particular time period. No one knew exactly, of course, where or when. So I was contacted, and actually, I think it was I was a part of several remote viewers who offered their impressions. I don't think the attack ever really occurred. Whether
we don't always get feedback.
We don't always get feedback with many of our clients, unfortunately, which is disappointing, because I do take my work seriously. I take great pride in helping individuals, and unfortunately don't always receive feedback.
Anyway. Which can be so frustrating. I understand that from my work. So we have a caller. Liz is on the line, and she's a client of yours and wanted to talk about her experience. Good evening, Liz.
Excellent. Hello, Liz.
Yeah. I had you on speaker, and now I didn't expect to be on the air this quickly. How you doing?
So nice of you to call.
Oh, no. Thanks for having me. And I just caught the tail end of John saying that he didn't have enough people saying thank you to him, and there's a place to help for them. No pulling.
Well, I appreciate you joining us this evening, Liz. Liz has an interesting experience herself with remote viewing, and I'll let her explain it.
Okay. Hang on a second. Can I put you on speaker? Hold on. Does this work for you, or is it terrible for your sound?
Sound is better if it's...
Okay, I'll take it off.
Studio is saying it's good.
What I'm trying to say is John and Maggie saved my butt, because if they hadn't found my flash drive, I never would have been able to publish the second book, which would put me stymied with publishing the third book, and now I'm tapping away at the fifth book. And at the time, it was one of those things like, I have no idea where this thing is, but I knew it was someplace in the house.
You mean your flash drive that you had your manuscript on?
The stupid little flash drive that was, and you know, I did have my manuscript on my computer, but it was probably 2 months earlier. And after 2 months, you make a lot of changes. And did I want to do that? So I had this, you know, basically on, you know, my livelihood on the flash drive. And where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Because I knew it wasn't in the grocery store. I'm very careful about when I took it to a Kinko's or anything else when I wanted to print something out to look at it. It was in my wallet or my pocket, and I was pretty anal about it. And it's like anybody else. You get, once you panic, everything is lost. You get to that crazy place. And
you called us then and asked us to help you find it.
And I did. And you know, the other thing is, I don't know whether this is what you told me or not, or what I sensed or not, but basically you were kind of like, if I sense like, if we can't help you find it, then no harm, no foul. And I just was like, okay, fine. And even if it wasn't no harm, no foul, I think at the time you charged me $60. And I was like, really? After trying to recreate 2 to 6 months worth of work? Fine. This is great. And what was really funny to me is your husband's his intuitiveness was spot on. It basically, okay, long story short for your listeners, I found the stupid thing in the back of a walk-in closet. But the way it was described was something organized with file folders or something like that. Well, the walk-in closet at the time had the previous owner's, one of those wire things, the wire, I forget what you call them, the things you buy in Lowe's, the wire hanger things.
Mm-hmm.
And so it could, in someone's mind's eye, look like you're putting file folders or organizing it like that.
It was a way that things were organized.
Yeah. And
well, I remember John suggested that it was upstairs on a room with a particular facing window. Was it an east-facing window?
That's what was so crazy to me, because I have no sense of direction at all. Really, the only reason I think my husband and I are married is because we both have no sense of direction, and we wound up together. So for your husband to say, it's in the northwest quadrant of your house, and I'm like, holy moly. So the only reason I figured out where northwest was because our Dish TV satellite is southwest. So I was like, okay. And then I figured out, okay, I basically had to really go through my own, what do you want to call it? My own obstacles, because I'm getting all these directions and I'm not a direction person, like a map person. And so, but I needed to find this damn flash drive. I had to. And so, okay. And so I thought, okay, well, if the Dish TV is on the southeast corner of the house, then John's telling me to go on the northeast corner. Oh, that's got to be my bedroom. And then I was like, that, huh? So I really literally had to take my thoughts away and just follow his instructions, like a recipe.
Right. You know, one thing I liked about your story, Liz, was that John had made a comment about how it got there.
Oh, yeah, Nikki playing lovingly with the thing. Yeah, yeah. And let me say, Nikki is the Vinny in my stories. I don't say this to many people because I'm very protective about him. My Nikki cat is the Vinny in my stories is, quote unquote, the mini mountain lion tabby. Nikki is basically a small panther. And Nikki is 21 years old or more now, and when I got him, he was bequeathed to me front declawed, which I don't approve of. That's my own thing, and that's a separate conversation. But since I've had him, you know, health issues come, and basically he's had all his teeth taken out.
And, when John wrote the report, I recall that he had written something about it being tenderly moved by a non-human biological.
Right.
And we really didn't know what that meant. And then when you told us that your 20-year-old cat with no teeth had carried it upstairs and buried it in the closet, I just cracked up.
Boy.
I love that part of your story.
He's my boy. I mean, he's the one who's like, I hate to say it, my husband is very indulgent. If my husband's a chef and he has crazy hours, but when we have normal hours, if Nikki's sleeping on his spot in the bed, he's like, okay, I'll sleep downstairs for a while, you know? But Nikki, yeah, he's, and Nikki's the inspiration for several storylines that I've put in, but it is kind of funny that he probably took this way in his mind, thinking this smells like mommy, I'll put it away for safekeeping. But meanwhile, mommy's having an aneurysm and a nervous breakdown, like, oh my God, you know, what did I do?
So what do you think of CRV, Liz?
I don't know about it, is an umbrella, but I will tell you, you guys were spot on. You helped me, and I said that to you before. I owe you. I mean, because I'm starting my fifth book in this series, and I'll tell you, I was dismayed enough that if I hadn't found the stupid thing with the second book, I would have said, you know what? It's a sign from God. I should stop writing.
Well, we're very glad you were able to find it and really happy you were able to call and share your story with us.
Yes, thank you very much,
you
Liz.
Awesome.
I appreciate that.
Very generous of you. Thank you.
No, not for nothing. Really, if you look, all of your listeners can look up Liz Lund, LIZZLUND, on Amazon, and you will see bad reviews, but you will see very good reviews. And I'm a good writer. And you know what you're doing, and I believe in you. And I'm also very careful to place my flash drives. I don't have to use them again. And not because I don't want to be in connection with you, but you don't want to have that heartache again. But I might
take good care of your flash drives.
Yeah, I'm going to throw something up to you, actually. I can only picture it in my head a little bit, but I might contact you, and you let me know. My sister had my grandmother's engagement ring as a gift for my mother after my grandmother passed, and wore it to a hotel in Texas. And she was
You're going to ask about a CRV question, try not to tell us too much now, because I don't usually let John know much targets are. So we'll keep that on the side,
What I'm trying to let your listeners know is, if you've lost something and you're really pulling your hair out, yes, I would definitely use you guys.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very kind.
Well, thank you very much, Liz.
Liz, thanks so much for coming on the show.
You got it. Bye.
Good night.
It is very rewarding to help individuals like Liz and others who really have no place else to turn.
Right, right.
And in many cases, they are desperate. And unfortunately, individuals will turn to a professional intuitive as a last resort. And oftentimes, that's too late when it comes to finding a missing person or a missing pet.
We've had a few experiences with missing pets that
didn't turn out.
Although we were able to identify the location, they were no longer able to take their pets home, and that's really hard, actually.
Certainly. So we're trying to, through this broadcast, educate individuals that CRV is available as a tool. for finding lost objects, for investigating the past, the present, and the future. And as Liz pointed out, it's not hocus pocus. It's very real. The U.S. military spent 23 years and $20 million on this project. It's something that is very real and very capable.
And an absolutely fascinating process, besides just the coolness factor of being a psychic spy. which kind of is what you are. You brought that psychic spy technology that they put so much energy and effort into developing into a system, and you make it available to the general public. So that's absolutely wonderful.
We do. We actually have some very stringent moral standards, though, as well. And we do not spy on people. So if you want us to, you know, talk about your husband's affair or something like that, you need to go find somebody else. We're not the people for that.
Right. We have had clients asking us to tell me if my spouse is cheating on me. No, thank you. That's left to someone else.
Yeah.
Right.
We don't,
right.
We don't.
And that's also more the kind of thing that a private investigator would do as a matter of course. So.
And that would be someone else's job, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But
although people ask us.
Yes, they do.
People ask for all kinds of weird things. I definitely.
Oh, gosh. A couple of years ago, we had a client who was very serious and actually paid us our going rate. She wanted us to locate her reincarnated cat.
Yes.
Mm.
And very interestingly, of course, John had no idea what the target was. I told him the target was a location. He described a pet store in her town.
Mm.
I just was thrilled by that. I just he drew the street and he described a shop. It was a retail. He recognized that there was fish there, small animals, and it turned out when she went down and followed the map and got there, there was a pet shop at that location.
I just hope she found her reincarnated cat.
Or at least the cat that was going to be her next cat.
Well, yeah, however she works with that.
That's the kind of stuff that's absolutely fascinating, that you can pin it down both in terms of description or sketching out a map of it or the front of the shop or whatever the details were that you got, with enough detail that somebody can just follow the information that you came up with. It's quite exciting and extraordinary work. Obviously, if you do it every day, you just expect it to work that way. So,
well, John actually does do it almost every day. He'll do a short session. A normal session takes quite a bit of time, but John does a short session practically every day and looks for headlines in the newspaper and things like that. And sometimes he's even done where he looks for the headline in the newspaper in 2 weeks. And he's had very fun. It's very entertaining, personally entertaining to, you know, so he'll draw the sketch and describe. And then 2 weeks later, you see this picture you had no idea would be there. And there it was. It's just, that's so much fun.
It's a lot of fun and it's good practice, obviously.
It is good practice. And Maggie brings up a very good point. It's one of the fascinating things that I have learned over the past 10 years is that time is not the linear construct that I've been taught my entire life. Time is, in fact, very flexible, malleable, and from all the precognitive dreams and readings that Maggie and I have given, psychic readings, it really does seem that the future influences or can send information to the past. A few years ago, I was driving to the airport with Maggie. It was an ordinary day. It was like 5 a.m. in the morning. We drove past this commercial building, and there was a flagpole out front. And I swear, for a brief moment, I did not see the American flag. I saw the flag of Japan flying there. And I turned to Maggie, and by that time I began to realize what a psychic impression really was. So I shared with her something about Japan. Something about Japan. I'm not really sure what it is, but something about Japan.
Well, you said you think you might be sitting next to a Japanese person or something significant having to do with Japan. Yeah.
24 hours later, the giant tsunami devastated the island of Japan.
Wow.
So that type of information is available to anyone who develops the time and effort and skill to pay attention.
Yes, paying attention is the big clue there.
Right. And the whole process of learning to pay attention and learning to trust the impressions and follow them is, besides everything else, very exciting. It's an interesting way to live for people that don't have that going on in their lives. It's not nearly as rich an experience. So I want to make sure, again, that you get to give your contact information.
Sure. Our website is intuitiveconsultants.net. Our email address is intuitiveconsultants.net@gmail.com. And our phone number is 717-340-2121.
And where are you located? You can work anywhere in the world, but where are you guys located?
We're located in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, the southern part of the state. But yes, our clients can contact us from anywhere in the world.
We're out in Amish country with nice dark skies.
Which is wonderful if you want to go look stargazing again. So I'm so glad you came on the show. This is such wonderful stuff and great fun for me to hear the details of what you do. John Stewart and Maggie Schetz have been my guests. They are the Intuitive Consultants. And thank you so much for being on the show.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, David.
It has been a pleasure. Thank you very much, David.
You're welcome. And if you happen to be enjoying this show, you should know that there's something special going on with Empower Radio. Empower Radio is a platform, a network that focuses completely on positive messages 24/7. And that's pretty rare. The studio that we use, which does all the wizardry that makes it sound so good, has equipment which I won't say is steam powered, but it's old. And we're going to be doing a fundraiser, a crowdsourcing on Indiegogo shortly, in a little while in April. And we would definitely love your support to be able to upgrade everything in the studio and go to the next level with what we can offer. So just wanted to give you a heads up with that. If you got curious at all about what in the world does this guy David do, you could go to househealing.com, and cleverly hiding in plain view on the contact tab is every conceivable technology for getting in touch with me, including a scheduling link that lets you make a phone appointment with me. You can choose several times, and we can avoid phone tag that way. I do remote healing for people, places, situations, all kinds of things. So whatever is going on, we can have a conversation and assess how my work might be helpful to you. If you want to know more about this show, and our joke is, I don't know how long I've been doing this, but it's years and years, and nobody's been able to look it up. But you can go to thefarkasfiles.com. Isn't that clever? And you'll get the background information and also the entire archive of all the interviews that we've done for all those years and years. This week's show will always be at the top of the list, the most recent show. And for those of you that aren't aware of it, Empower Radio has shows running 24/7, and the Farkas Files runs at 9 p.m. every day. So our live recorded new show is always on Thursday evening, but you can pick up on shows all week at 9 p.m. And I hope you enjoy them. So until next week, thank you one and all for being here. I hope I see you next week. This is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a fantastic week.